Begin the current daf Masech, let's get in daf Ayin Gimel. Begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara had introduced a halacha from Rav Huna, because the Gemara was going to ask in it from the halacha of our Mishnah, that Rav Huna said that the halachas of Shechiv Mera are universal. And that is, we compare the halachas of his get to the halachas of his matana. And that is just like when a Shechiv Mera, a dying person, gives a gift, the premise is obviously because he's going to die. But if he actually survives, the gift is not a gift. Same thing applies to his get. If he ends up actually getting up from that sickness, the get is not a get, it's void, and it's not going to be a get. Now, that the Gemara had asked from the halacha of our Mishnah, which sounds like it's only because he said imati, where the halacha was, he said that, look, if I'm going to die from this illness, and then he got up, then if he ends up dying, so we have to assess if it's from the original sickness or not. But it sounds like, even if he got up, that it wouldn't be retraction. It's only depending if we have to assess him. On that, the Gemara ended up explaining for Rav Huna that no, actually, that since he got up and he was moving around in the street, he was mobile, so then we have to assess if it was original illness or not. But actually, it's talking about a case that he never got better, and that's why we have to assess, was it a new illness or not? Because actually, if he didn't get up, we wouldn't even have to assess. We would assume it. But Rav Huna's halacha still stands correct based on the question from the Mishnah, because if he had gotten better, then actually, automatically, it would have been void, because a get of a Shechiv Mera is not a get once he gets up. That was the halacha we said from Rav Huna, which again is not difficult from the halacha of our Mishnah. But the Gemara continues and says, Rabba v'Rava lois sviru lehu had Rav Huna. They do not agree to this halacha of Rav Huna, equating in halacha the get of a Shechiv Mera to the matana of a Shechiv Mera. Rather, they hold that if, let's say, not like the case of the Mishnah, where if a Shechiv Mera did not specify im mati, that if I end up dying, then actually they hold that even if the person gets better, he cannot retract and it's going to be a get. Why? Seemingly, Rav Huna is correct. Like, this is the premise we find by Shechiv Mera. That's the assumption we're going on. We're presuming that he only did it because he's going to die. So the Gemara explains, Gezeirah Shema Yemru Yesh Get La'achamisa. They were concerned that if we do allow this halacha to happen, that people are not going to understand the distinction and people are going to actually think that there's halacha that you can give a get after the person dies. Because if you say that when he doesn't get better, then it's going to be a get. But if he actually gets better, then it's not going to be a get. So people are going to start thinking mistakenly that, wait a second, that must mean what actually makes it to be a get? Only when he does die. Because we see that it's only when he dies there's going to be a get. Actually, when he doesn't die, when he gets better, it's not a get. So they're going to say, oh, must be, and mistakenly they're going to say, oh, because the get happens when he dies, yesh get lachar misa, and they're going to start to say that it's valid, even in the case of, let's say, when the husband tells his wife that this is your get lachar misa. And they're not going to know that since, and the reason why they're not going to know this is because since the husband didn't specify anything, meaning in contrast to the halacha of our Mishnah, meaning Rabbah and Rav agree, but in our Mishnah, where he said, im mati, if I die, that then, yes, then it's going to depend if he gets better or not, because he said, if I die from this illness or not. Okay, so he specified. So there we know. Okay, if he gets better, so obviously that's why it's not a get. But when he dies, it's not because it's the death that's causing it. That was just a condition. But in this case, by a regular generic Shechiv Mera, they don't know that when he's giving it to her, that it should be a get from now with the condition that he dies, because that is the presumption. And that is really what the halacha should be, but he never said that. So the people are not going to be aware of that. All they're going to realize is the distinction that when he dies, then it's a get. When he doesn't, it's not. Why is that? Oh, it must be that it happens to be a get when he dies. Meaning they're going to think erroneously that it's a get lachar misa. Therefore, say Rab and Rava, although maybe the halacha should be like Rav Huna, that the gifting of a Shechiv Mera and the get of a Shechiv Mera is only if he's going to die. And if he doesn't die, then he really didn't want to give a get. But us, the rabbis, we make a decree and say, no, you cannot retract. We want it to be a get in all cases, even when he does survive and doesn't die, so that people shouldn't make the mistake of the distinction if they're going to see that it's not a get when he survives, that they're going to think, oh, must be because when he does die, that then it's a get because it happens to be a get. It's chal only when he dies, and that's a mistake, actually, in get lacha misa. Now, this halacha of Rabba and Rabba, the Gemara asks, is it really possible that something that biblically is not a get, because as we just explained, that his whole intention as a Shechiv Mera when he gave his wife a get was only if he's going to die, and he didn't end up dying. So he doesn't want it to be a get. He's not giving it a get. So biblically it's not a get. or mishum gizera, but because of our rabbinic concern of what people are going to mistakenly come to, sharin eishes ish liyamu, we permit a married woman to marry other people. In other words, she's not really divorced biblically. He's not giving a get. It's only, even though he didn't enunciate it, verbalize it, but that was the assumption, he's only giving if he's going to die, and he didn't die. So she still married him. And yet you're saying that rabbinically we'll consider it like it's a get, and she, a married woman can marry other people? So the Gemara says, "In yes, we can do that. Because kol mikadosh, the whole premise, the whole structure of kiddushin of marriage is adaita derabbanan mikadosh. A person when he gets married, as the sentence that said that I'm mikadosh you kadas Moshe v'Yisrael, is based on the rabbinic interpretation of what marriage is. Vafkin rabban the kiddushin minei, and the rabbis, they removed the kiddushin. In other words, they say you were never married. Therefore, they could rabbinically consider as a get because they say we decide and we don't want this to be a case that it's not going to be a get. So although let's say you are married, but we're just going to remove the marriage because it was anyways based on our understanding, our decision-making in what's considered kedushin. So therefore we're revoking the kedushin and therefore she's not a married woman. Now that the Gemara asks, Omali Ravina Ravashi, Tainich the Kaddish Pekaspa. It's very well, I can understand the way you're interpreting if the engagement was with money. He gave her a ring. That was the kedushin. So, okay, I understand that since the kedushin was based on the das of the Rabbanan, so now because of their rabbinic concern, they could say that we're not going to consider this as it was a kedushin, because it was only based on our interpretation that we're designated as kedushin. Now, retroactively, we're designating it as a gift. You gave that woman a gift. You never gave her kedushin. And hence, now she can go ahead and marry other people. We'll consider this, quote, a get, which is really just saying that she was never married in the first place. But Kaddish Bebiya, my Clement, what are you going to say if, let's say, there's three ways of being a Kaddish a woman? One of them is with cohabitation. If he engaged her through cohabitation, what are you going to say about that? How are you going to reinterpret that? Obviously, that was an act of Kiddushin. So if she's biblically married, so then what are you going to do now? How are you going to undo a biblical marriage when biblically she's still considered married because that wasn't a valid get? So the Gemara says, Amalei, so Rav Ashi answered Ravina, no, they're also the same idea. Shavu Rabbanan lebilas, bilas nos. The rabbis equated, what was that cohabitation? It was a cohabitation of promiscuity, of zus. It didn't have a halachic status of kedushin because the status of kedushin depends on the rabbis, and they were so concerned with these areas that they said, we'll consider it a get. In other words, that you were never married in the first place, and even your bias were bias of znus. Now the Gemara continues quoting, so that ends that discussion from the previous staff. In regards to the interpretation of this halacha regarding the get of a shchivmera, if he survives, if it's going to be a get or not, which again essentially it should be, it should not be, but again Rabbi and Rava consider it rabbinically a get because of this gezeira that people might confuse and think you could give a get lachamis. Now the Gemara continues turn upon the brisa, which is like the case that we actually brought from the Mishnah, and that's why we introduced Rav Huna's halacha that we asked from this case of the Mishnah. So the Gemara brings a brisa that discusses this same halacha. The brisa says, "Ze gitich mahayoyim imati mechay liza." This you get from today, if I die from this illness. So the way the Mishnah described it was, but he ended up getting better, then he got sick again. So the Mishnah said, okay, we got to assess, did he end up dying from the first sickness or not? But the way the brisa describes it is, he was always sick, and he said that if he dies from this sickness, it's going to be considered a get. But v'nafla b'yislav, he doesn't end up dying from the illness, the house collapses on him. Or a snake bites him, and that's how he dies. Says the Braisa, ain't a get, it's not a get. Now, the reason being is the way Rashi interprets this, and this is going to be part of the discussion, is that really when you say mechaylizeh, from this sickness, really it can mean that if I'm going to die from the sickness, meaning what's going to kill me is the sickness. Now, Rashi takes it that even if you say it's not going to be that I'm going to die from the sickness, but even if you're going to say, during the duration of my illness, I'm going to die, but still, you only entertain, and this is going to be further discussion on this Amid, something that's considered that's shriach, that's common. Meaning when you're saying something, you only have in mind, and that's the premise of what the limitations of your statement is about what's commonly going to happen. But an oinis, let's say something that's way beyond, that's not even common, a person doesn't entertain that. And therefore, the halacha this Rice is saying is that essentially he was saying that if he's going to die through the illness or something that's normative for a person to die with, that's what he had in mind. But regarding a snake biting him or a house falling on him, even though it's during the duration of his illness, that he never entertained, and therefore that's not going to be a get. Now, however, says the end of the Brisa, Im loy amin mechay lizeh, but if he said, if I'm not going to get up from this illness, And then benafal alav bayis, in the same case, a house falls on him, or hikish a nachash, or a snake bites him, harizi get, there it's going to be a get. So the Gemara wonders, maishna resha, or maishna seifa? What's the difference between the resha and the seifa? In other words, like it's called memanashach. Either way you look at it, if you consider that a person entertains in his statements even something beyond his control that is not even common to even entertain, like a house falling on him or a snake biting him, so then, and that's the understanding of the case of the seifa, why it's going to be a get, so then why? What's the understanding of the resha? Why does the resha hold that it's not a get? Because, again, as Rashi is interpreting, that when you say that you're going to die from this sickness, you say Michaili Zeh, that sounds like during the duration of this illness, like we see from the Seifa. So why is it that the Seifa says it's going to be a get and the Reisha says it's not a get? Now, Tosfos points out an interesting thing that one would really see themselves when learning this Braisa. The Yerushalmi explains that there is a big difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. The Reisha is where the person says that Mechai Lizeh, if I die from this illness. Now, when a house falls on the person or a snake bites him, he didn't die from that illness. So we could understand why it's not going to be a get. But by the Seifa, his words were imloy amoid. If I don't survive from this sickness. Now, he didn't survive. Because not surviving sounds like whether he dies from the illness or whether he dies from any other thing. So, of course, we understand why the Seifa would be hareiz a get. But says Taisus, obviously our Gemara didn't hold of this differentiation. Rather, they hold that both by the Reisha and the Seifa, the terminology, whether you're saying imati mechelizeh, if I die from this illness, or if you say imloy amen mechelizeh, if I'm not going to get up from this illness, basically means to say that during the duration of this illness, if I die, then it's going to be a get. And therefore, again, so then really, what's the difference between the ration and the safe? If they both mean that, so do you entertain something that's not common or not? Either way, if you do entertain, so then why does the ration say it's not a get? And if you don't entertain, so why does the safe say it is a get? So the Gemara actually says, you're right, Shalchu Mitam, they sent from over there, from Eretz Yisrael, and this is in reference to a certain incident that happened where a person had said something similar. He said, if I don't get up from this illness, then it's going to be a get. And a lion ate him. So they sent the question to Eretz Yisrael, and they responded, Ochlu Ari, if a lion eats a person, ain lanu. That we don't hold of. In other words, that we don't hold that it should be a get, because that's what's considered an einus leishchiach, it's something that's not commonly thought of, and therefore a person didn't entertain that when he said, if I die from this illness, that it should be a get. And you're right, essentially what the Gemara is saying is that we don't hold like the Sefer the Braisa, because yeah, they are contradictory, the Sefer and the Reisha, and we don't hold like the Sefer because you're right, the Reisha is the correct halacha, that it's not going to be a get, because a person doesn't entertain that a lion's going to eat him, so even though he said no matter how he dies, during the duration of the illness, even something else, but at least it's got to be something that's within the range of what he entertains, not a house falling on him, or a snake biting him, or a lion eating him. Similar discussion, the Gemara brings out, Hu Gavra, the Zavan Ar Lechavi. There was a certain person that sold a piece of land to his friend. Kabel Alei, so the seller accepted upon himself, calling us to the Mesyalad, any mishap that's going to happen to the field, any situation that's beyond the control of the purchaser, that the seller is going to appease the purchaser and take care of the problem. Now, Lasaif, ultimately what ended up actually happening was Afiku Bonara. The king commanded, and they ended up taking the river and diverting it straight through that field that he sold to that person. So Asla Kamed Ravina, so the seller came in front of Ravina, where he made up, he's going to promise whatever situation goes awry, he's going to take care of for the Lekech, and here he goes, and the river's running right through the field. So Amalei, so Ravina said to him, Zil Shapile, so which comes from the word of Shufi, which is, make everything calm for this person. You got to take care of the problem. The Hokabila Salach Kolonosa Demisyal, you promised him whatever einus happens that's gonna come out in the future, you're gonna take care of. And this is a situation of einus. No one could have predicted it or controlled it, but you promised, and therefore you have to take care of it for this purchaser. Now on that, Omali Ravacha Bar Techlifa LaRavina, he asked Ravina, but no one entertains. It's not a common thing that the king should just suddenly say that this river should run through this guy's field. And as we mentioned this concept just before, a person doesn't entertain that when he's accepting to promise to take care of all oinsim. Oin is the shriach, he was, but somebody did loy shriach. Why should you mandate this person is liable? So actually the Gemara tells us that igalgal milsa, so the situation rolled around. In other words, the question was being bounced around by the rabbis about what's the answer for this question. And the question came in front of Rabba, and Amalahu, he said to them, yes, this is a not common einus, And therefore, he actually held that the meicher, what their seller, was actually exempt because he didn't entertain that when he was accepting upon himself einsin, no matter what happened, but at least something that within the frame of a person's rational mind, something that's not common, he didn't accept, and therefore he's exempt. Now, however, Eisvei Ravina l'Rava. So Ravina, who had said that he was responsible, he asked to Rava from the Braisa that we mentioned before. And that's why the Gemara is bringing in this story. The Braisa said, Imloy amin michailize, this was the safe of the Braisa, said, the guy said, if I don't get up from this illness, v'nafa lov ba'ayis, and the house falls on him, or hikisha nachash, or a snake bites him, where that's a case of, it's loy shchicha, it's not common for a person to die that way, and yet still the Braisa said, hari is a get, it's going to be a get. So you see that a person does entertain, or even if he doesn't, but you see that's still going to be a get. So amalei Rava, Rava says, ve'ema mereisha, so Rava said to Ravina, well, instead of asking on me from the Seifa, well, take a look from the Reisha. The Reisha supports me, because the Reisha says this is seemingly the same type of case, and that was the Gemara's previous discussion, that ain't a get, that it's not a get. So therefore, don't ask me from the Seifa, because look at the Reisha does support me. Now, so Amalei Ravacha Medifta Ravina, so Ravacha Medifta asked Ravina, who got this response back from Rava, he says, I don't understand what Rava was answering you. Because there's a difficulty from Reisha to the Seifa, loy mesvina to Yuftimina, so we can't ask questions from it. You still have a legitimate question to Rava, meaning yes, he's supported from the Reisha, but what does he do with the Seifa? So Amaleth Ravina said, no, he gave me in. Yes, he gave me a good answer. Because keeping the Kasha Reisha Seifa, since there's a contradiction here, where the Bryce itself doesn't make sense, the Reisha is difficult with the Seifa, so Le Itma Be Medrasha must be that this Bryce was not discussed in the Beis Medrash, where the Talmudic scholars sit, who would have resolved it and explained the understanding of this Braisa. So therefore, since this Braisa was never brought up in the Beis HaMedrash, must be Umeshabeshtahi, that it's a mistaken Braisa, and therefore you can't use that Braisa as a source. And rather, Zilbasasvar, you have to go after your logic. In other words, it makes sense, like Rava was saying, that I'm not correct, that this person, this seller, is not liable, because something that's an oinus, delay shchiach, that's not common, a person doesn't entertain that, and therefore, although he took responsibility for oinsin, no matter whatever mishap happens, was only something within the normal range of what a person expects. Something like the king running the river through is not expected, and therefore he's actually not liable for an oinus, delay shchiach. Again, like related to this braisa, where a person says in the halacha of our Mishnah, Immati mechay lizeh, again, it's only, yes, no matter how he dies, but something at least that's shchiach, something loy shchiach, is actually not going to be a get. Now, the Gemara continues with another incident relating to this. Rav Papa, Rav Hun, the Beredi of Yeshua, Zavin, they purchased shumshimi, sesame seeds, agided in the Har Malka, which was by the bank of the river Malka. Now, Ogur Malche, they hired sailors, in other words, they hired for themselves a ship, Lavarinu, to transport the sesame seeds to their house. Now, Kabilu Alaihu, the sellers who had sold them the sesame seeds, accepted upon themselves, calling us the misyalad, any mishap that's going to happen on the journey to their house with the sesame seeds, we accept responsibility. We want to make sure you're happy customers, that it gets to your house. Now, Lesaif, ultimately, what actually ended up happening was that a stocker Nahar Malka, the river Malka actually was dammed up. They had a dam there, and the ships couldn't get past to get to their house. So Amr Luhu, Surah Papa Nirvuna, said to the sellers, Agur Khamri, go ahead, now you have to hire donkey drivers, that is, so that Afkinu Nahalon, that they could transport it to our house, to Kabiltu Alaihu Kolonosa de Misyal, you accept the responsibility, no matter whatever mishap happens, that it's going to get to our house. And the ship is not taking it, so you got to hire donkey drivers. Now, Asul Kameh de Rava, they came in front of Rava, Amr Luhu, he said to Rav Papa Nirvuna, he says, Kake Chivre, which means white geese, and he's calling that because they were elderly men. Mishalche glimi de inchi. You're stripping people's clothing. In other words, you're taking away things from them inappropriately for your own benefit. Because einosa de lo yishchiyachu. That's a case. Who expects that a river suddenly gets dammed up? It's something that's unexpected. It's not something that happens. And therefore, although they accept the responsibility, it's only Ainos de Shriach, as we mentioned, but Ainos de Leishriach, actually they're going to be exempt, and then they're not liable to hire you donkey drivers to bring it to your house. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing actually on the theme of the previous Mishnah, which we mentioned in the second of the three categories in our Mishnah, which we spoke about certain conditions that the husband says when he gives his wife a get. We said regarding a person that gives his wife a get and he says to her, I want, this should be a get for you, mehayoyim imati, from today if I die. So we explained that the halacha is that it's going to be a get from today, but only retroactive, meaning when he dies, That's the condition that then it's going to retroactively be you get from today. So what do you do? What's her halachic status in the meantime? Because it's only going to take effect when he dies. But it's going to be from right now that she's divorced. So says the Mishnah, Loi tisachrimoi. So his wife cannot be secluded with him. And the reason being is because maybe he's going to cohabit with her. Now, the reason is because there is an opinion that's concerned that if he's going to cohabit with her, maybe it's going to be because really she's divorced from now on. It's just that he might die 20 years from now, but when he does die, then she was actually divorced 20 years before. Now, if they're going to seclude with each other, he might go ahead and cohabit, and if he does, he might do it with the intention of creating a new kedushin, because really she's divorced, again, retroactively. So if he's going to do it l'shem kedushin, which you could be mekadesh through bia, then it's actually going to require another get. So for that concern, since that means to say that the original get's not going to work, we don't want them to seclude because it's actually going to require her a new get. Now, actually, even according to the opinion that's not concerned that his bia with her is going to be for the purposes of creating a new kedushin, still they're not allowed to seclude each other for a very more practical, critical reason is because really retroactively turns out that she's really a single woman right now. She's not your wife. Although you didn't die yet, so therefore she's not divorced, but retroactively she is divorced. If she's single, then you're not allowed to be miyachid, you're not allowed to be in seclusion. This is Isser of Yichud with a single woman. Essentially, she's really not married to you. So therefore, either way, from any of those two interpretations, this woman that had the get of Imati, he said, Mahayoim Imati, so cannot be secluded with him, unless there's at least witnesses there that they could see what's going on, they could stop them from what they're doing. Even if it's just a slave, even if it's just a maidservant, again, chutz mishevchasa, except if the third one that's there is her maidservant, because the mistress that's in charge of the maidservant is very comfortable with her maidservant, and it's not going to stop her from cohabitation, which is a problem, again, either because then we'll need a new gerushin, or because, more fundamental, because she's really not married, and that they're prohibited to have relations, a single woman with a single man. So when you have another person there, that will be good enough, but by her maidservant, that's not going to be good enough. Now, moving along, although the way the Mishnah sounds like is that the next part of the Mishnah is qualifying the halacha that we just said, which will actually be the Gemara's question, as we'll see that it's actually a different case that the Mishnah is discussing right now. But again, the way the Mishnah reads is, Mahi ba'is nayam. So what is her halachic status during those days? We said, she's in this quasi-state. Really, she's not divorced yet, because it's only when he dies, but retroactively, she will be divorced from this moment. So we have a machlekes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says that actually, as we continue to Amud Beis, Ke'eshes ish l'chol devarah. She's really, for all practical purposes, considered like a totally married woman. And therefore, someone that cohabits with her, not her husband, will, if he does it deliberately, he's going to get chenek, he's going to get the death of choking, and if he does it by mistake, he's going to be chayav karban chatas. Now, but as Rashi explains, as we'll see in the Gemara, the question is, but why? If he ends up dying from that illness, actually, the halacha is that retroactively she was divorced. So if someone cohabited with her after that point in time, why should she be considered like a totally married woman? Essentially, really, she wasn't married. So Rashi explains, as we'll see in the Gemara, that actually she was not divorced from that moment. She actually only ended up getting divorced a moment before her husband dies. Because the Gemara explains the case that this Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is discussing is where he tells her when he gives over the get, he says, Hareza Gitech, this is your get. Vizgarshi Bain, you should be divorced. Me'es shani ba'olam, from the moment that I'm still in the world, imati, if I die. Now, so therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds, as we just mentioned his opinion now, that so the get is actually going to happen the moment before he dies. But what that means to say is any moment before that, she's a totally married woman. The divorce only happens a second before he dies. That's why he says she's ke'eshes l'chol devaraha, and whoever cohabits with her is going to be chayav karban chatas, like a regular married woman. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, he says no. Megureshes ve'en megureshes. She's divorced, but not divorced. Because Rabbi Yossi holds that from the moment that he gives her the get, every single moment we're in doubt, maybe this is the moment before he's going to die. We don't know when he's going to die. So this might be the moment that she's divorced because he might die the next second. So therefore, it's a doubt. Now, the halacha is when you do a doubtful sin, then the one who does it has to bring an ashem tolei. A different carbon, not a karmachatas. It's a doubtful, is she megureshes or not in this moment? Because we don't know. And even as we'll see, if she survives, so turns out she really was married, but at that moment we didn't know. So therefore, ein breira, we can't retroactively clarify that it means to say that at that moment she was a married woman. And therefore, it's a suffix if she was divorced at that moment, and therefore it would be ashram tali, not a kar mechatas. Now, relating to the halacha of our reisha, the Gemara brings Tanabon, learn in the Braisa the following halacha. And that is, we mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah, we said that this woman should not be miyached with her husband, again, regarding the case of where he says, mehayim imati, where again, retroactively, will be a get, but it's only going to take effect when he dies. So in that interim, he shouldn't be miyached with her. So says the Braisa, if let's say, ru'uhu shen nisyachti my bafela, but let's say they do see that they were secluded together in darkness. Or she sleeps with him underneath the foot of the bed. So the halacha is, we don't have to suspect that maybe they were involved in something else, meaning a euphemism for cohabitation. We don't have to be concerned, although we don't want them to be miyached because of that concern, but if they were secluded, we don't have to be concerned that they cohabited. But we are suspicious that there was an act of znus, meaning that maybe he did cohabit with her, which the Gemara is going to ask, what does that mean? You just said that we don't have to suspect that they were cohabited, and then you say that we suspect they did cohabit. The Gemara will address that. But there's no concern that he had beer with her for the purposes of kedushin, meaning because that, as we explained in the Mishnah, one of the interpretations of why they shouldn't have yichud, because if they do and he has beer with her, maybe he did it for the purposes of kedushin, which would then require a second get. So therefore, we don't want to be miyachid because we want this to be based, as we assume, on the original get. But so that's what we're saying, that here, if they're miyachid, if they're secluded, we don't have to be concerned that they had bia, and we don't have to be concerned, therefore, that it was a bia l'shem kedushin to require a second get, and you could still rely on that first get, even though they were miyachid. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Huda, I mean, he says, even in this case, cheshim mishem kedushin, we have to suspect that there was a bia l'shem kedushin, and hence you would require a second get. That's the machlekes. But the Gemara asked my comma. We can't really read this braisa, because as we mentioned, first the braisa says that you don't have to be concerned that maybe when they're secluded that they were involved in tashmish amita. Then you say, oh, cheshem mishem znus, we have to suspect that they did act together immorally. What does that mean? Did they or did they not? So as the Gemara will explain, you have to add on certain words over here in the braisa, which there's three different interpretations in how to amend the interpretation of this braisa. So Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabbi Barabuah, he says, Hachekama. This is what the braisa is saying. There's actually different cases over here that are alluded to, inferred, and then that's what the next part of the braisa addresses. So yes, the braisa first started off that if they're just secluded, okay, then we don't have to be suspect that they cohabited. But the inference is, but let's say that they saw them cohabiting. Then we do have to suspect that bia was for the purposes of creating a new kedushin, and hence we would require a second get, a new get, because although retroactively it's already a get from the first time, but yeah, that was before they cohabited. Now they cohabited, maybe you did it for a new kedushin, so then you would require a new get. Now Rashi just points out one thing that we'll see in the later sugya, that that's only because that you would need a new get because of he had bia with her. We saw them having bia. So we have to be concerned that maybe it was for purposes of a new kedushin, which would require a new get. But because of what's called the psul of get yashin, an old get, that's not a problem in this case because here he already gave the get to her. Get yashin is only if it was written and before it was given, then they were secluded, then you run into that problem. Here he already wrote it and actually gave her the get already. The only problem is because of that maybe there's a new kedushin because of the new bia that they had. That's why the Tanakhama is saying that would require a new get, because we're concerned that bia that we saw them having is because of a kedushin. Now, what's missing is, besides this inference of the case of Shenivala, is it was an addendum to that missing part of that case, which was inferred from the first thing where, okay, if you only see secluded, no problem. But what sounds like, but if we did see bia, then there's a problem because we have to be content it was for l'shem kedushin. So that is what the Bryce is going to say. But if nasan la kesafim, but let's say after that bia that we saw them having that we saw them cohabiting, that he gave her money, and that is what the Bryce is saying. It sounded like it was one long case. It's not cheshem mishum znus. That then, although we'll see that, although the word cheshem usually means say we're concerned as if it's a stringency, it's actually that we could suspect and we could we could actually say that that bia was not l'shem kedushin, and it was actually only for znos. They actually were divorced, because retroactively it's going to be a divorce, but they were doing it just immorally, not for the purposes of marriage. Because d'amrinu, we say, best no, nosan la must be, why is he giving her money after he had bia with her? Must be paying her for her services, which you don't do to a wife. You're doing it because you're doing it l'shem znos. And therefore, ve'en cheshem l'shem kedushin, that's what the Bryce was saying, these two points, that we're concerned that it's znos, and that we don't have to be concerned for it being kedushin to require a second get. So although we said that when you see them having bia, you need a new get, but that's what the Bryce is saying, that if we saw him give her money, then we're not going to be concerned for kedushin, and we don't need to have a new get. And the reason being is because if the bia was for the purposes of kedushin, he wouldn't have given her money as payment. You don't pay a wife. Now, as Rashi points out, that the understanding of this interpretation is because when we're saying that we're choshish mishum znus, obviously it's not necessarily as it's usually interpreted as a stringency, because what's the concern? What about it? What would be the stringency of its nus? If it's regarding her being able to marry a kohen, which if she had an active znus, she can't marry a kohen. She's anyways a divorcee. She was already divorced retroactively from her husband, and anyway she's invalidated from a kohen. And if it's regarding truma, let's say she was a bas kohen, she's anyways not going to be pasul, because she's only pasul if it's a bia of sin, for example, with a kuti or a chol or a nosan or a mamzer, all those who are mentioned mesechet zivamis and kedushin that are invalid types of people, but not by her ex-husband. So therefore, obviously, and this is the interpretation of Rabbi Bar Avuah, that the reason why is because since in the Sefer we mention ein cheshishin, that's why in the Reisha we mention cheshishin, but it's not really a cheshishin of concern. There's actually a leniency that we could say and depend it on that it was actually not a bia of kedushin, but rather it was a bia of znus, and that's why you don't need to have a new get if he paid her after the bia that we saw them having. And on that is what Rabbi Yisrael Behuda Omer, he says, no, af bezu, even in this case, which again is not clearly mentioned in the Braisa, but as we explain and expand the Braisa, that talking about a case where even when he gave her money, still he holds cheshem mishum kedushin, that you still have to be concerned that the act of bia was for kedushin, because yes, although you don't usually pay a wife for act of cohabitation, but maybe that money wasn't what's called esnan money, which is payment for a zayna. Maybe it was just a gift after bia. Maybe he gave her a gift, but maybe it was l'shem kedushin, and that's what he holds, that even in that case, you would require a second get. That's the interpretation of Rabbi Bar Avuah. Now, as the Gemara will do with all three interpretations, the Gemara asks, based on this brisa and the interpretation that comes with it, Kaman azla hada amar Rabbi Bar Bachana amar Rabbi Yechanan. So which one of these Tanoim would be like the interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan, which is brought later on in Pei Aleph and Beis, which we'll see the primary sugi over there? He explains that the machlekes b'shamein b'shil, regarding someone that divorces his wife. Now, after he divorces her, they then spend the night together in a hotel, where b'shil says, well, what are they doing spending time together? You got to have a new get, because maybe they consummated the relationship again, so you're going to need a new get. So on that, Rabbi Yechanan says, that whole machlekes that b'shil holds you're going to need a new get, unlike b'shamai, is only k'shirua shenivla. This that we say, quote, that they spent the night together in the hotel, is only if we saw them cohabiting. So then we have to suspect that the purpose was l'shem kedushin. Avaloi ru'ur shenivala, but if they did not see them cohabiting, they just know they spent the night, divra ha'koil in tzricha hemena get sheni. Rabbi Yechanan qualifies, says, dear, everyone would agree that we're not concerned, and we wouldn't require a second get. So the Gemara is command. So which one of these Tanoim would be going like Rabbi Yechanan's interpretation like Basil, because we assume that all the Tanoim go like Basil's version? And that the Gemara says, oh, that would be Kedivri HaKol. That would be like all the opinions we just mentioned. Because both according to Tana Kama and according to Rabbi Yisrael B'Yehuda, they say where we don't see them cohabiting, we're not concerned. That was the case we said. If they're just Miyachid Ba'afelo, we're not concerned. And they both agree that when we see them cohabiting, unless if money was given, but that's not discussed, but if money wasn't given, if we don't see money being given, they both say that we do suspect that it was a bia l'shem kedushin. That's exactly like Rabbi Yechanan's interpretation of Basil. That's version one of the Braisa. But on that, Masik v'la Abaya. Abaya asks on Rabbi Bar Avuah's interpretation of the Braisa. He says, Midi kesafim ketani, does the Braisa mention anywhere the words of money? In other words, if, which is an important integral piece according to the interpretation of Rabbi Avuah, that it talks about giving money after the bia, and that's actually where the machlekes of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda is with the Tana Kama, so that large chunk would not have been left out. As many Mefarshim explained, that this whole concept of chesur mechser and so forth are actually were deliberate acts in the way the Messiah was given over, even after it was written up. So Abaye says, such a big critical piece would not have been left out. Elam Abaye, rather Abaye gives a different interpretation in this brisa. And he says, this is what the brisa was saying, and again, adding on to the missing words in this brisa. So again, the brisa starts off with a case about if you see them just secluded, okay, you don't have to be suspect that there was any cohabitation. But the inference is, ru'ush nivala, but let's say you saw them cohabiting, that's not a big stretch to add on to the case of the brisa. He's not adding on, like Rabbi Avu, a whole case of money after the bia. Just it's the inference of, okay, just seeing secluding is not a problem. But sounds like, but if we saw bia, then there would be a problem. That's what the brisa, the Tanakhama, then says, oh, regarding such a case, in spite of that, chayshin mishum znus, we still could say that it was just znus, as we explained, chayshin in this context is actually a leniency. The ein chayshin mishum condition, that's what the brisa is saying, that we could say that, oh, even if we saw that there was bia, but we could say that they were doing it just for znus, and we don't have to suspect that it was for kedushin purposes, and therefore she would not need another get. And on that, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Omer says, no, af chayshin mishum kedushin, that you even have to suspect it, that it wasn't just a znus, and that it was an act of kedushin, since we saw them having bia, and therefore there would be a requirement of another get. Which later on, one of the questions on the Abaye's interpretation is going to be, well, why does it say the word af? What do you mean, oso? It's not oso, it's actually only kedushin and not znus. It's actually mutually exclusive. You're either doing one or the other. So that's going to be the question on Abaye's interpretation. But be that as it may, first the Gemara asks, so now based on Abaye's interpretation, so Kaman Ozla Hoda Omer Rabba Baruchan Omer Rabbi Yechanan, so which one of these Tanoim would agree with Rabbi Yechanan's interpretation of the Machlekes of Bishami Basil, that he explains that it's only Kishiru'ish in Nivala, the whole requirement of Basil to have to be concerned that it's a new Kedushin and you have to give another get to this woman that was Miyachid with her husband, her ex-husband, in a hotel? That's only when they saw them having been bia together. But if they didn't see them cohabiting, that we don't suspect, although they were secluded, that we don't require another get from that husband. Where again, because Rabbi Yechon had interpreted according to Basil, that it's only when we see them having bia that it requires a get. So come on. So who of this brice that we're quoting now, according to Abaye's interpretation, would be going like that? It would be going like Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Huda. And the understanding is, in contrast to Rabbi Baravu's interpretation, according to Abaye, whereas by the Tanakhama, he holds actually that there is no such machlokes b'shamei b'sil. And the reason for this, at least according to Rabbi Yechanan, is because no one would leave the opinion of b'sil and say like the opinion of b'shamei. Now, in spite of that, the Tanakhama of this brice is saying, even if we saw them having bia, again, according to Abaye's interpretation, we don't require a get. So that's not like b'sil, at least according to Rabbi Yechon's interpretation. So Rabbi Yechon would have to say that this Tanakhama holds that actually Bisham Basil never disagreed with this. But Rabbi Yisi holds like Rabbi Yechon, that when you saw them having bia, it would require a new get because we would suspect that it was for the purposes of Kedushin. But one thing Rashi does say is that definitely that either opinion that in our Braisa is not like the disputant of Rabbi Yechon in the interpretation later on in that Sugyan on Pei Aleph, that holds that you would require a get for this woman and her ex-husband that were secluded in this motel, even if we didn't see them having bia. Because here, we say that when we didn't see them having bia, everyone agrees that we're not concerned, and you would not require a new get. So definitely, neither opinion is like the other interpretation. But even according to Rabbi Yechanan, it actually would be only like Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Huda, but the Tanakhama would hold that actually Bisham Yisrael never disagreed like that. But again, in the second interpretation of Abaye, the Gemara has another problem with this interpretation. Maskav l'Rava, he says, Imkain, as we alluded to this question before, my af, what's also that Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda is using the word of also? In other words, that you're saying that regarding the concern of znus, that the Tanakhama said that we could be chayshah that it was znus, so again, as we said, that it doesn't really mean a concern, like as a stringency, it's actually a leniency, which we say that, oh, we don't have to suspect it was kedushin, we could say, and make it that it was actually, we could interpret it as that it was only for znus. And we don't have to be concerned for kedushin. On that, Rabbi Yisi should have said, no, we are concerned for kedushin, and that we're not going to be toil l'hokab znus. But the word af makes it sound like an oso, but it's not adding on to the Tanakhama. It's actually saying that not. It's not correct what you said. It's not znus. It's actually kedushin. that we do have to suspect. So why it's saying af? So Ella Amar Rava, rather Rava gives a third interpretation in this brisa. He says, Hachikama, this is what the brisa was saying. Tanakama was like the way Abaye had said. Now, B'yaser B'Yehuda, I mean, he says, af, when he says af le'ru'ua shenivala. No, actually, the exact case that the Tanakam was talking about, just seclusion, which again, the inference was, but if there was Bia, then the Tanakama said, okay, we could say that it was Nus, even if there was Bia. He's still not concerned. We don't think it's Kedushin. We could say maybe it was Nus. And that Rabbi Yehuda actually goes the flip side. He says, no, even your original case, Tanakama, even when we didn't see them cohabiting, just secluded, Cheshin Mishim Kedushin, we still have to be concerned for Kedushin to require a second get, because since we saw them secluded, so then like the term that Rashi uses, Eide HaYichud Heinein Eide Bia, the witnesses who saw them secluded is like witnesses who say that they cohabited, because since they're very friendly, obviously they were married for who knows how long, they're just divorced now, we have to be concerned that maybe they cohabited, and therefore that's the interpretation according to Rava of the opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, which is the opposite of the Tanakama. Tanakama holds that you're never concerned for Kedushin, even when you see them having Bia, and Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda holds that no, even if you didn't see them having Bia, you have to be concerned that they did have, and that it was done for the purposes of Kedushin. So that the Gemara asked the same question, so Kaman Azla Hada Amar Rabbi B'chana Amar Rabbi Yechanan. So which one of these Tanoim would Rabbi Yechanan be going like when he says, the Machlekes Kishurush Nivula, the whole Machlekes is when we see this woman and her ex-husband that they cohabited. Then we have to be concerned, says Beis Hillel, for a new Kedushin to require a new get. But if we didn't see them having Bia, that everyone agrees, even Beis Hillel, you wouldn't require a get, says the Gemara, Kaman, Deloy, Kechad. It wouldn't be like any one of the opinions mentioned in this Brisa. Because, for actually opposite reasons. According to the Tanakama, he says, as we just said from Rava, even if they saw them having Bia, still he says you could be toilet in Znos, and we wouldn't require a get. Now, that's not like Rabbi Yochanan said in Beis Hillel, that he says, but if we see the Bia, we are concerned and we require a new get. And if you're going to say, like Rabbi Yossi, he says actually that no, even when you don't see them having Bia, not like Rabbi Yochanan, that even when you don't see them having Bia, you are concerned and you require a new get. So obviously Rashi says that the interpretation of Rava in this Brisa, that the Tanaim would have to hold like the dispute of Rabbi Yochanan in that sugya over there, that even if they didn't see them having Bia, still Beis Hillel would require them to have a get just from the fact that they were secluded together. So again, those are the three different interpretations of this Brisa, again, which relates to the Halacha of our Mishnah regarding that we said they did, regarding when the man tells a woman that your get is Mehayoyim Immati, which we said retroactively is going to be a get. So therefore, they shouldn't be secluded now, again, because essentially she's really divorced from now on. But that's what the Brisa discussed, that if they secluded, again, what's the halacha, and if we see them having Bia, and that those are the different interpretations of this Brisa. Now the Gemara continues quoting our Mishnah that said, Mahi bo'es nayam, again, which the simple reading, the chronological reading of the Mishnah sounds like it's a continuation of the previous case, which we'll see in our Gemara is not that way. But it says, so what is this woman's status during those days, meaning when she's like a little bit in limbo, because retroactively she will be divorced, but she's not divorced until her husband dies. So we said in the Mishnah that Samachlaik is Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, Ke'eshes ish l'chol debirah. For all practical purposes, she's like a regular married woman, and if someone has znus with her, he'll be chayav achatas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he disagrees. He says, Megureshes ve'in the Megureshes. She's divorced, but not divorced. Therefore, if someone would have bi with her, it'd be like a doubtful bi of Isser, and you'd be chayav an Ashram Tali. Now, the Gemara explains, quoting a Brisa, Tana, we learned, that regarding this, that Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, that she's Megureshes, but ain't a Megureshes, and therefore whoever has Bia with her is going to be Chayav and Ashram Tali. The Brisa explains, obviously, it's Ubalvat Shayamas, as long as the husband ends up dying. Meaning, because if he doesn't die, then retroactively it's revealed that it actually wasn't a get in the first place, because it was only contingent on his death, and therefore, so she was always married, she was never divorced, and of course, whoever has Bia with her, even the Kontrabiesi, would be Chayav Kar Mechatas. But now the Gemara asked the critical question in explaining our Mishnah, both according to Rabbi Yossi, that considers this woman up until her husband dies as a doubtful Eishes Ish, both according to Rabbi Yehuda that considers her a definite Eishes Ish, as a definite married woman, so nobody really is considering her as totally divorced from this moment. So then the Gemara asks, will he mayis have a gitta? So what are you telling me, that well, when he does die, that then it is going to be a get? Now the problem with this is that according to both of them, like we just mentioned, it's not retroactively going to be a get from the moment that he gave it to her. Because again, if that would be the case, then no one would be chayiv misa or chayiv chatas or even a ashem tali by having be with her after that point. Because retroactively, it turns out she was really wasn't married. She wasn't a married woman at the time. So then the question is, so it seems like that it's only going to be get after he dies, because not happening the moment that he gives it to her. Now the problem with that is well, kaim alon de inget lachar misa. We know that a get cannot take effect after the husband dies. Well, it's not taking effect by the moment that he gave it to her, so it's not mehayoyim. So it's only mati, only when I die, when he dies. But that's already lachamisa. So how do we understand the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yisi in our Mishnah? So that Amar Rabba explains, and we already interpreted our Mishnah's case like this already from Rashi, that actually our Mishnah is not talking about the previous case that it was discussing of from mehayoyim imati. Because you're right. By that case, for sure, the moment that he dies, retroactively it's revealed that it was a get already from the moment that he gave it to her. And of course, yes, anyone that would have had be with her for the remaining 20 years of the husband's life, after he already gave her the get, actually would be exempt, because retroactively she wasn't a married woman. But rather, the case that they're discussing is Ba'imir Me'es Shani Ba'ilam. The case that they're discussing is where the husband says that from the moment that I'm still alive, the moment before I die, is when it should take effect and be a get. Therefore, according to Behuda, essentially the get is only taking effect the moment before he dies. And therefore, turns out that before that, she was a regular, fully married woman. And that's why he holds anyone that has be with her, if it's not the moment before he dies, it's going to be chayav kor machatas. Now, but Rabbi Yisi holds, and this is the interesting logic that he holds, is that, at least according to the interpretation of Rashi, is that from the moment that he gives it to her, already every moment is a moment of doubt. Because maybe this is the moment before he's going to die. So essentially, it is, at this moment, a get suffic. Now, and this is what's critical, what Rashi explains, that even if he ends up living longer, so isn't Rabbi Huda correct? That turns out that she was a fully married woman and it wasn't a get? But Rashi used the words of Ein Breira. Retroactively, we can't clarify it. We take it in the moment. In the moment right now, if someone's having a bee with her, are you having a bee with a married woman? Or is she divorced? Well, we don't know. He might die the next moment. Turns out that she was divorced at this moment. So even if later on we find that he doesn't die and he was alive, but it doesn't make a difference. At that moment, we can't retroactively clarify it from later, which is called Ein Breira, and therefore, the halacha is going to be, according to Rabbi Yisi, that you're not going to be chayav a karban chatas, you're only going to be chayav a karban ashram tali. That's the dispute, again, not in the case of Mayim and Mati at the beginning of the Mishnah, but rather a whole new case of Ba'imer Me'es Shani Ba'olam that's going to take effect a moment before he dies. And that's why, according to either one, for sure, she's not totally divorced from the moment that he gave her. Only question is it totally a married woman, or there's some type of quasi-doubtful status of a married woman?